Washington County and Clean Water Services, particularly, as Dan Hebert mentioned, for the last couple of years, we've been working with them on selecting the appropriate fix for this problem. So I think it's fair to say that we believe we have worked cooperatively with them. We have shared information. They have shared information with us. That's how we know what they would have to do on their side if we were to send this flow by gravity. They would have to build a pump station. They would have to build significant sewer investments in some of their neighborhoods to accommodate this flow. So we believe we've selected the right option for the reasons that were mentioned in the slide presentation.
I guess I'm asking, is it accurate to say that from a an engineering point of view, that it would be easier if we had an intergovernmental agreement with Clean Water Services to accept this sewage? And that's just a scientific question.
We currently have an intergovernmental right. agreement with the Clean Water Services.
Well, please listen to my whole question. I'm asking you, is it accurate as it has been portrayed to us, that just from a purely engineering point of view, you know, the slope of the land, that it makes more sense to have the sewage go into the Clean Water Services system versus pumping it over the hill, or is that inaccurate?
I believe that's inaccurate.
And it's inaccurate because?
It's inaccurate because Clean Water Services actually investigated what it would take, and we made a life cycle cost analysis of the different alternatives, and their alternative for a gravity system that didn't require a pump was approximately four times the cost of the pump and force main system on Clean Water Services side of the collection system. And then we compared our five alternatives to provide the service within the city of Portland against their preferred alternative, which was also a pump station in force main. Theirs having been selected based on the least cost of the project overall.
And did I understand you correctly that our fix compared to what they proposed is 20% of the cost they would charge us?
No.
You said five times greater.
No, that was just, it's been said several times that the flow could be allowed to just flow by gravity to the Durham treatment plant.
Right.
And the problem they have is similar to problems that we have elsewhere, that their collection system doesn't have enough capacity to bring that flow to the Durham treatment plant. So they would have to build a parallel collection system, a parallel trunk, to bring the flow there. Comparing the cost of their building a parallel trunk to building a pump station and a force main, which is just a different means of getting there, but it requires electricity, it requires pumping against pressure. Just as the commissioner indicated, we're pumping uphill. They would be pumping a greater distance, not as much of a hill.
So what are the comparative costs between what they would propose to us and what we're proposing to do here?
The comparative costs, I don't have the numbers or recall what they were. Their best alternative from a standpoint of cost was similar. The difference is that for city ratepayers, we would be paying wholesale rates for that sewage treatment, and it would overall be far more expensive for us.
And Commissioner Mullenkowski also asked about other backflow devices in the...
There are backflow devices, yes.
And has there been a break in the main?
There has been a break in the main.
And what was that due to?
Was due to a weld failure. So we investigated that. We've spent the last 2 months investigating that, reviewing similar welds on the rest of the pipeline, finding that there was a quality issue with the one weld that failed, not observing any quality issues with the rest of the welds.
And is that normal for putting new pipes in, that there are sometimes flaws?
You do everything you can to avoid that, but we missed this one.
And what about the overflow? What are the plans? Should there be an overflow with the need for pumping and trucks and such?
The state requirements are that you be able to handle a 5-year storm event. And so you design everything size-wise, pump-wise, pipe capacity-wise to meet that 5-year flow event. When it comes down to actually having a 5-year flow event, there are quite often things that you can do in your system temporarily to increase the capacity, such as closing gates to hold the sewage back and essentially store it in the system, or as Clean Water Services did once during the period of time when we had no pump station available, they operated a Vactor truck in Beaverton to suck the sewage out of where it was going to overflow, suck it out, and as the commissioner indicated, drive it downstream a little ways and put it back in their sewer system. That was in accordance with an agreement that we had made with Clean Water Services prior to that, where it was discussed who would do the work, and it was their decision that they wanted to do the response in their jurisdiction. And we agreed to pay the cost of that. I don't know whether they've charged us for the cost of that, but we'd be more than willing to pay the cost.
Thank you. And I'm not as familiar with the Washington County land use process as I am with the City of Portland's. There'll be a land use review. Is it a conditional use type review for the new facility?
Yes, there is actually two different ones. One is a type 2 for the diversion manhole, which is an allowed use in the flood zone. The pump station itself is a type 3 process, and Dan, can you give me a little bit better terminology here? You've been through it.
Well, I guess my underlying question is that would be a place where there would be approval criteria to look at the safety, viability of the system, whether there are going to be adequate protections for odor and overflows and such. Because we're not approving or saying go forth and prosper with this particular facility. We're amending the facilities plan to say that there could be one in the future. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yes.
That's correct. And as Bill said, the land use procedure is very similar to the City of Portland's procedure in that they just apply the county, Washington County code, and the approval criteria are all reviewed, and we have to address all of the approval criteria in our applications.
And Mr. Lilly is correct that we're amending the comprehensive plan because this wasn't previously in it, but the Planning and Sustainability Commission is advising us that this is an appropriate amendment to the comprehensive plan.
That's correct.
Thank you.
If I could just piggyback off those comments, I'm looking at the public involvement statement, and it says in 9A that amending the comprehensive plan, blah, 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 is not anticipated to have community impacts. And I take it that's because we're simply amending the plan and we're not moving forward on anything. However, construction of the proposed projects will produce limited duration construction-related impacts, and potential impacts resulting from the ongoing facility operation are being addressed through facility design and site layout processes. And is it, therefore, just to understand what Commissioner Fritz just said, there are land use processes that people can invoke to address these mitigation issues?
Yes, Commissioner, let me just be clear. We are also doing extensive public outreach. Dan Hebert mentioned we had a meeting with adjacent property owners last week. We're going to have more workshops with them, really going above and beyond what's required by the county code. So we're going to do what the county requires, and we're doing more than that. We're meeting with them, talking about traffic issues, noise issues, odor issues, design questions. We want to be the best possible neighbor we can be under the circumstances.
And so you're asking us to amend the comprehensive plan. What comes back to us and when for further consideration about whether this is a prudent investment and to address some of the concerns we've heard from people who've testified?
Probably the contracts for construction?
Yes, it would be the construction contracts that would come back to you for approval. The actual design approval is through the Bureau's hierarchy, and the building permit reviews will all be at Washington County through their Development Services Division. So once the plan amendment is adopted, the rest of the permitting process, it would be through Washington County.
Any further discussion?
Is this, I just, one other question I had, because I haven't previously been briefed on this. I also haven't asked for a briefing, but this hasn't come up through our Bureau of Planning and Sustainability briefings or something else. Is this a time-sensitive request? Is there, if the council wanted more information on this, Dean, is there a clock running or some reason why this has to be addressed by next week, or is there some flexibility if it was the desire of the council to have more information?
Well, we've been at this for quite some time, so I would, and this is the first reading, I guess, if you have a question.
I mean, is there some magic to having this resolved next week and then effective 30 days thereafter? Is there a clock running here that you're trying to fit under?
We are paying attention to the schedule, absolutely. And so we would, but clearly if you have a question that you would like to see answered before you act on this.
Well, I'm not proposing that now, but I'm going to ask for some additional information between now and next week, and I just wanted to know if we're up against a hard deadline or not.
I think if you didn't get sufficient information to make a vote or to perform your vote next week, we'd certainly be happy to delay it an additional week, the second reading.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your testimony.
Thank you.
Please read the title hold for a time certain at 11:45.
11:46.
46.
Yeah. Sorry, 11:46. Thank you.
Tentatively deny appeal of Cottonwood Capital Property Management, LLC, Frank Fleck, and Gary Gossett, and uphold hearings officer's decision with modifications to approve with conditions the application of Recology Oregon Material Recovery, Inc. for a conditional use to establish a waste-related use that accepts and processes food waste that is blended with yard debris within a fully enclosed building at 6400 Southeast 101st Avenue, LU10194818CUAD.
And my understanding is that this has been rescheduled to November 16th at 10 a.m. time certain. Is that correct?
Correct.
Thank you. So moved. Please read the title for 1166.
Amend sewer user charges code to expand authorities for implementing a revised extra strength discharge program.
Commissioner Saltzman.
I'm sorry, which item is this?
1166.
1166. Excuse me. Okay, well, thank you, Madam President. The city currently spends more than $12 million a year to clean and repair sewer lines that are clogged by fats, oils, and grease, or fog for short, and to treat wastewater containing high concentrations of fats, oils, grease, and food waste. Food service establishments that discharge high concentrations of fog pay what's called an extra strength sewer charge to offset these costs. Right now, a relatively small percentage of customers pay extra strength fees, but the city has identified more than 2,000 food service establishments that discharge concentrated fats, oils, and grease and food waste. The Bureau of Environmental Services has launched an effort called Cut Through the Fog that will add requirements and phase in new sewer rates for all food service establishments beginning on January 1st, 2012. After the city fully implements Cut Through the Fog in mid-2013, this change will decrease sewer rates for other businesses and residential sewer ratepayers. Food service establishments will be able to reduce extra strength charges by installing grease interceptors, removing kitchen garbage disposals, and participating in food composting and food donation programs. BES is in the midst of an extensive outreach campaign to ensure that all food service establishments are aware of the program and can get technical assistance on how to reduce extra strength charges. The goal of the Cut Through the Fog are to reduce sewer overflows and backups, to provide rate equity for all customers who discharge fats, oils, and grease into the system, and to protect public health and the environment. And staff is available if you have any questions. This is a first reading.
Any discussion or questions from council? Anyone wish to testify on this matter? Moves to second reading next week and further consideration. We have two items pulled from the consent agenda. Can you read the first one?
1153, amend an intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Department of Transportation to increase the amount of grant funding for pedestrian safety improvements at the intersection of Southeast 82nd Avenue and Francis.
Discussion from council on this? Does anyone wish to testify on this matter?
I believe the office wanted to refer this back to your office and submit another ordinance next week.
Unless there's a disagreement, this is referred back to my office for a resubmittal. Can you read the second item, please?
1156, create a new non-represented classification of equity and human rights director and establish a compensation rate for this classification.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Actually, Commissioner Saltzman.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Yes, thank you, Ms. Mayor. I ask that this be pulled. I think, you know, with our budget issues that we are facing this year, with issues I think the mayor has directed us all to look at around issues of span of control, I am concerned about setting the salary for the Equity and Human Rights Office Director at a level 15 pay grade, as it seems that the duties and responsibilities are more in line with those bureau directors at level 14. And I believe if we do pass this and do create this level 15 for the Equity and Human Rights Director, this will create inequities with directors at pay grade 14 who supervise much larger staffs than we anticipate the Office of Equity and Human Rights to have. The FPD&R director, for instance, is in pay grade 14. She supervises about 17 full-time equivalents. The POEM director, who supervises about 19 full-time equivalents, is also pay grade 14. And the director of ONI, who supervises about 38 full-time equivalents, is also pay grade 14. Directors in the pay grade level 15 supervise much larger staffs and oversee much larger budgets than we anticipate the director of the Office of Equity and Human Rights will do. I believe that the salary range at pay grade 14 of up to $130,000 a year is more than adequate to recruit qualified candidates, especially when you consider it in conjunction with what we recently approved, which are three-year contracts for new bureau directors. So this new director will have a three-year contract and $130,000 a year annual salary. I believe that's more than sufficient, and if we do pass this at a pay grade 15, we will be setting the wheels in motion for directors at pay grade 14 to make an equitable claim that they should also be in pay grade 15, and I think that goes against our current budget environment, and I believe it's not the proper classification.
Well, I appreciate Commissioner Saltzman's comments, but I would disagree with them. I think if we are going to realize our full potential in terms of being an equitable organization, that we need to prioritize that. And yes, in terms of equity, it does mean with this classification that we are stating it as a priority. I don't agree with the prevailing city practice that these issues can only be decided upon issues that you mentioned, such as span of control and size of budget. I do think it is appropriate, without setting a precedence, and I don't intend to set a precedence with this, that we do have this position classified above the others. And I do think that it is appropriate and consistent to do so. It is within, I believe it is within our discretion to do so, and those are the reasons that I support it.
Mayor, may I pose a question? I intend to support the ordinance, but I have a question for Decker. Mm-hmm. Would you remind us what the ranges are, low to high, for both 14 and 15, since we're having a public hearing? And people might be interested in what that
Yes, Commissioner. For the record, my name is Yvonne Deckard, and I'm the director for the Bureau of Human Resources. For a pay grade 14, the bottom of the range is $93,288, and at the top of the range is $130,291. for a 15 is 102,648 at the bottom and 146,952 at the top.
And thank you. And having gone through this process recently myself, I want to be clear. Just because a position is classified 13, 14, or 15 doesn't mean that we are required to come in at the top of the range when we offer someone a position, correct?
Correct, Commissioner. We negotiate the salary, and the range just means that you can't pay below the bottom and you can't exceed the top.
And I can just speak from our own experience that we took a pretty hard line in keeping with the idea that there's a period of scarce resources, and we try to strike a good bargain. So the difference between the two ranges here is at the low end is 93 versus 102, and at the high end, 130 to 146.
Correct.
But that the actual pay for a 14 or a 15 and a starting pay could essentially be the same if that was the desire of the commissioner in charge.
Correct. There's quite a bit of overlap between the two ranges. And
so there's a lot of overlap. And to the question of precedent, because we often deal with those issues in our discussions, my understanding is that the bureau directors serve at the pleasure of the commissioner in charge, and that we have broad discretion to strike the appropriate salary within the range. So is there a precedent we're setting that in adopting this ordinance which would create actionable inequity claims by other people in the pipeline?
What I'm going to remind counsel is that you actually have a compensation policy, and when we set salary, we are looking at that compensation policy, and how we set salary is broader than just span of control and budget. We're actually also looking at, the error of consequence, the level of...
What was that phrase, the error?
Error of consequence.
Error of consequence. Oh, error.
The error, okay. Right, error of consequence, area of, so if you make an error in judgment, an error in, and okay. So error of consequence. Okay. We're also looking at what, for this particular position, the reason, and I can tell you, Commissioner Sossman, it was very easy when we first looked at this position to look at it and go, yes, it should be a 14. But in really delving in and looking at what this position is going to be performing and the criticality of that, I actually moved from the position being at a 14 to a pay grade 15. What we know is that for this type of endeavor, not only salary, but where you place this type of position within an organization is critical for its success. Equity is one of those areas where you're looking at, we need to be able to attract and retain someone that has the ability and the skills and expertise to approach this as a startup, the same way you would start up a nonprofit. They are going to have to form and maintain critical relationships, working relationships, not only within the city, but across the city with other governmental agencies, other businesses and organizations, both public, both in the public and private arena. And also there is also a critical national relationship for equity programs and efforts in order for an equity program to be successful. If we aren't able to actually attract the right person and the right fit for this position, it can really damage the program and our efforts as far as our being successful in moving toward an equity program. And what I can tell you is that once that damage is done, it is very, very hard for a organization to recover from that. And so this is going to be, we're going to have to do a special recruitment for it. We're going to have to cast a very wide net in order to attract the right person. I think we also need to send a message to our community, both locally and nationally as far as, you know, the importance and the seriousness this effort is for the city. And we often look at those other types of criteria when we are setting compensation. So for those reasons, I felt very strongly that we needed to really position this position at the right place in the organization and position it in a way that we could attract the best talent in order to achieve the success that we need, because we really, truly only get one shot at this.
So Thank you, Director Deckard. That's really, it shows how much thought you've put into this and that you've been partnering with the mayor and me on these issues for a long time. Just the only thing I'm going to add to that is that the Director of Government Relations is a level 15 here in the city of Portland with 8 in the office. This director position is very much similar to the Office of Government Relations director. I'm going to read from the ordinance that the Office of Equity and Human Rights will work with all bureaus to eliminate disparity in city policies, processes, decisions, and resource allocations, and with other governments, private businesses, non-government organizations, academia, and each community member to achieve measurable results, reducing disparities within the city and throughout the community. That's a significant task, and thank you for your support.
So I just had a procedural question. I just don't recall having compensation levels brought before council before. I mean, we created the office, we created the position. I thought typically that was an internal process done at BHR.
Commissioner Leonard, you're correct. The council does set the compensation plan for the city, but when it comes to really evaluating where classifications or where a position, where that is placed on that on the plan, and as far as pay equity issues, that rests with my office, and so normally that's how that's done.
But here we're
My point is, I thought that you just decided where that was. Why do we have this before us?
Well, we have to establish the actual classification and right, initially, in order to be able to recruit and in order to be able to set up the office. And so in order to have the classification, and that's on a pay range, then, you know, council does have to pass that. And so you normally,
it's
a procedure, and it's always on consent, and it's normal. So you normally do that, yes.
But I just to amplify on that, because that was one of the notes I was making, I don't remember us in the past second-guessing HR on where the appropriate classification and pay rate should fall. I mean, I don't remember us having the debate about, I mean, there are some things that we review within our discretion. I think there's other things we tend to defer. We don't have the benefit that you do of looking system-wide where something fits. And we also don't have the benefit of the information you have about the recruitment process. And again, having gone through this over the last 6 months, and I think to the extent we take seriously the desire to get the best possible candidate from the most diverse pool, what we've learned is we have to go the extra mile to do that, to have that pool. And I don't think the council is generally in a position to second guess that, because we don't have all that information. And therefore, there's a
I guess I would say, as the one who's second guessing it, just last week we passed a new ordinance that provides new bureau directors a 3-year contract. I mean, that counts for something monetarily. And that, I think, deals to the issues that Commissioner Fish encountered in his recent challenges in trying to attract out-of-town recruits to take these jobs, or maybe even in-town recruits. I had a couple of questions I'd like to ask.
Can I just clarify the record on that point? Because I'd hate for someone to read the record and think that that's what we did last week. We did not create a term of employment. And I cannot believe, after all the discussion we've had, that there are two members of council that keep saying that. We did not create a term of employment. We said that you can be fired for any reason at any time. We said you can be fired for cause at any time without compensation. What the council decided to do was, within the first 3 years, which is the period where someone is most at risk if they have sold their house, relocated, come to take the job, they would be eligible for severance if they were fired for no reason or for just political reasons. That's all we did. It doesn't change their at-will status. It doesn't create a term of employment. And I just think it's important we not misstate what we did last week. It's hard enough to explain.
Well, that just takes the fun out of it.
I stand corrected.
I mean, are you kidding?
I stand corrected,
but
it does create...
would be so boring if we're...
Nevertheless, it does create...
has the floor again.
It does create a level of...
not helpful.
...security that we didn't have before for new bureau directors. So I do appreciate your clarification, Commissioner Fish. But I guess, you know, my two questions were... trying to remember that. So it sounds like from what you're saying that we're going to be paying top of range, well, no matter which pay grade it is, whether it's 14 or 15, we're going to be paying either $130,000 or $146,000 to get the talent.
No, you didn't say that.
No,
that,
but
that,
I mean, from all the description and...
Commissioner Saltzman, nobody said that. So.
Oh, I'm asking.
Point to my record. I have hired a new bureau director for a newly created bureau in the Office of Healthy Working Rivers, and we did not hire her at the top of the pay grade.
We're not making those assumptions.
Actually, Ms. Deckard reviews the offers that are made, and she is actually quite protective of the public treasury here.
Now, if I was hiring a director of Office of Human Relations, I would hire them at the top of the pay grade.
We know that.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let me move to my second question.
The other thing, Commissioner, is that...
Fortunately, I'm not doing that, so your concerns are misplaced.
That's right. It should have been directed towards one commissioner.
In order to pay a top of range, in order to pay above mid-range, then it actually does take the HR director signing off on it, and so it's not something that just automatically happens.
Okay. And then, so will this not create a legitimate pressure on us from grade 14 directors that I just mentioned that control larger offices to also make a similar request to you and of us to, well, I guess they'd ask each one of us individually to move to pay grade 15 also, the Me Too effect.
Well, we are, and I'm just going to give a little clarification here. We did our first non-rep study in 1990. We didn't do another one until 2000. There's a problem with an organization of this size doing a pay study once every 10 years. That allows things to morph. It's way too much time in order for things to stay in really good alignment, to stay competitive with the market. We are in the process right now of looking at, and we've had some compression, and as a result of that compression, we've made some minor adjustments. One, we have had a huge compression issue with our fire command. We had to make some adjustments there. We made some adjustments with some other ranges. And so we are looking at those positions currently, but we were looking at these positions before we got to the equity director. And so we are doing work there. It's a possibility, you know, that in not have looked at these particular jobs for over 10 years, that we may have some compression issues. But I think those issues weren't created by where we placed this position. That compression issue existed because, you know, for a long time because we haven't looked at those ranges. And so it's possible that we will be making adjustments.
I apologize, Mayor Adams. I have to go, but this is an emergency. Do you need my vote, or Commissioner Saltzman, do you intend to move to remove the emergency clause?
Let me just ask one last question, and I'll tell you that. So do you intend to...
Get this right, Yvonne. Get this. Yeah. Listen to this question.
Do you intend to do this compensation level study and bring it to us in the next 3-4 months?
Yes. I think she's nodding her head.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
I see a firm commitment.
Additional discussion from council.
Perhaps, yes.
Do you want us to go through a vote on the emergency, or do you want to...
I would prefer removing the emergency. No. I need to digest what was said.
If we do that, it's going to hinder the recruitment. Let's be clear about this.
Correct. That's what I was going to say.
And it means we cannot launch the recruitment, which means we have a bureau with no leadership. So, and we have, I think, have 4 votes prepared to support.
So maybe Dan can go to the meeting you're scheduled to go to, and you can stay and vote.
If you absented from voting, it can actually move forward with the recruitment, Dan. But if we remove the emergency, we're saying that we're causing about a 2-month delay in moving forward, which seems to me...
Is that true? I mean, you can't issue a notice for a hire?
Well, if we don't set the compensation and establish the position, we don't recruit for it.
But we'll do that next week if we remove the emergency.
But no, because it doesn't go into effect for 30 days, and that's one of the reasons why...
So you can't begin recruitment until that 30 days passes?
Generally, we don't. It's very difficult to go out and say to the public, we are recruiting for a position that really hasn't been established, and that's why we always put emergencies on compensation issues.
What event am I going?
Thank you very much for your comments.
You're being honored for something.
Thank you for leaving.
Getting an award.
Getting an award, and thank you for your service.
Does anyone wish to testify on item number 1156? Carla, can you please call the roll? The vote.
Please call. Leonard?
Well, in all seriousness, the change in the charter that allowed for director appointments to serve at the will of the commissioners did not create political positions. They are political appointments, but these are not political positions. And I heard that said here recently, and I quietly disagreed with that. I am concerned about the what appears to be increasing meddling in these appointments. By the council, I think Commissioner Fish's ordinance that I happily supported went a long ways to making these more attractive positions to people who might want to come and work for the city by at least setting up some objective standard by which they would be treated their first 3 years, which is the kind of issue I fought for my entire adult working life, so I appreciated that. And this issue today, I'm concerned, has become politicized, and it shouldn't be. I mean, there's an objective standard by which BHR develops these classifications. I'm comfortable that BHR has done that. And as Commissioner Fish accurately pointed out, I don't think we're in a position to second-guess that, nor should we, nor is it appropriate.
Fritz. Well, thank you, each one of my colleagues, including Commissioner Saltzman, who had to leave on a pressing engagement. This is Democracy in Action, and thank you for your expert advice from the Bureau Director's standpoint, Yvonne. Thank you for elucidating much more carefully than I can why this position is so important and why we must work together to make it work. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for pointing out the issues with the hiring process and the timing. We're already, I'm nervous about our capacity to be able to deliver the work plan by the end of March that we promised to do on September 21st. And thank you, Mayor Adams, for your ongoing leadership on this matter and your partnership. And just mention that this director will be hired in a partnership between the mayor and myself as the commissioner in charge, which is unlike any other position. It's really important. And for anybody watching, this vote signifies how important it is, and we want everybody's help in advertising this position so that we attract the very best candidate. Aye.
Fish.
Well, I want to just associate myself with the remarks of both Amanda and Randy, because I think they said it perfectly. And the only other thing I will add is that based on the presentation that you've made today, Yvonne, I see no cost issue here, which should sway us one way or another. And I do share the belief of the majority of my colleagues that we have a professional HR staff which guides us in these things, and I think we should be very reluctant to wade into these waters unless we think there's been an egregious violation of our existing policies. And I will also say that that the kinds of things we did last week and this week are ultimately intended to give you the strongest possible hand to get the most qualified person to do this job. And it is my view, it is my hope that this person is, we get the best person, and that this Bureau is successful, and that it continues to be successful beyond this year and next year. So thank you for your work, and I appreciate the Mayor and Commissioner Fritz for bringing this forward. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I'd like to thank Commissioner Fritz for her continued leadership in getting this startup started. I'd like to thank the ongoing fantastic work and leadership in the Bureau of Human Resources and the entire team. Thank you. And I don't think I agree. I, too, would associate myself with the comments that have previously been made, and I look forward to all of us helping in the recruitment. So, aye. We are adjourned for the week.